This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
The topic that we're about to discuss is not an issue that most of us probably want to think about, the online sexual exploitation of children, but it's happening. Adolescent psychologist Colette Smart has just returned from a trip to the Philippines with International Justice Mission. What she's seen and experienced will no doubt have been an eye-opener, and she's on the line to share it with us. Hi, Colette.
Hi, Katrina.
So tell us, what was the purpose of your recent trip to the Philippines?
So essentially, I'm an ambassador for International Justice Mission. So they're an international organisation with a group in Australia. Their vision is to rescue thousands, protect millions, and prove that justice for the poor is possible. But I went with RJM to Cebu to meet the team that actually works there on the ground. And RJM spent many years fighting sex trafficking in Philippines and Cebu, rescuing young men and women from brothels and traditional trafficking. But the issue of OSEC, or online sexual exploitation of children, has been raised as a very serious issue in recent years. And so RJM in the Philippines has changed their focus to work on this specifically. OSEC is essentially the live streaming of sexual abuse of children. The shocking thing is that 54% of the children who are victims they've rescued are between 1 and 12 years old. So it's a really heinous crime. And I think what's worse is that it isn't a crime that's being done somewhere over there in some faraway country. It's actually a crime that's paid for by Westerners, and a large percentage of those that are paying for Filipino children are Australian men. So the children are essentially in slavery.
That's horrendous. How do the kids find themselves in the situation of being exploited in this way? Like, what kind of circumstances could lead to a child ending up in that situation?
So really, so the international perpetrators will gain access to children through local perpetrators. So there are people there in the Philippines who are offering and abusing the children online. What shocks most people and what shocked us as a team when we got there was that 60% of the perpetrators offering the children there are women. So it's mothers, aunts, and female neighbours looking after the children during the day. And really what they're finding is what makes this the key elements to this, there's two. So English is widely spoken in the Philippines, so communication is easy. And almost everyone in the Philippines, even in the poor villages, have access to social media and smartphones. So this is live streamed through Facebook and Skype platforms. I should also add that people assume that it's driven by poverty. I have to say, the people there, the locals are at pains to point out it's not simply poverty driving this crime, because they say there are tens of thousands of poor people there who aren't offering their children up for this kind of crime. So it's not just a poverty-driven issue.
It's really hard to understand what would drive a mother or an auntie to do that to their young daughter or niece. You just can't get your head around what would let...
No, and that's why they're saying it's not just poverty, because there are many poor people not doing this.
Okay. How does RJM track down the perpetrators, and what happens to them?
So really, RJM is usually alerted with the local by the local police. They've got a very strong, fantastic relationship there. The local police are contacted by international law enforcement when a Westerner has been caught. So then they find images of Filipino children. We met with the National Police of the Women and Children's Protection Centre in Cebu. There's seven of these incredible people doing the job of about 42. But they really work at tracking down the local perpetrators then. We weren't privy to their methods, because a lot of them are done undercover. But they're really doing amazing work.
And do they ever face court, these perpetrators?
Yes, absolutely. So RJM works at every level. I was so impressed. They work at every level, really caring for the children. So what happens is that the social workers are there first. They've insisted they are there first at the point of rescue to make sure the children are safe before the police swoop in and arrest perpetrators. the social workers, we actually refer to them as angels. They are, they move to tears when they talk about their stories, but they make sure through, even through the legal proceedings, that the children are never re-traumatized. So trying to ensure they're not in court facing the perpetrators when they have to testify. And these same social workers keep going back into the villages. They're doing psychoeducation on cyber crime. And then the lawyers, they just never go away. Some of them follow these crimes and these stories for 7 years until they secure a conviction. So we met the lawyers, and they are so passionate about what they do in protecting these kids.
Mm, okay, let's talk about the children themselves. Were you able to meet any children that had been rescued?
So, yes, I visited a safe house for girls between the age of 2 and 12 who are survivors of OSEC, Online Sexual Exploitation of Children. It's run by the Cure Foundation, who's actually a partner of IJM and the local government social services. It's an absolutely magnificent home. It's in a rural setting. We were not to take images or use geolocation or geotagging. Mm. But the girls there, there's 24 girls in that home. There's two social workers, two teachers. There's two house mothers per 10 girls. IJM social workers visit them each week, and there's even two house parents who are the coordinator, so they're a couple with their own children. They're all local people. The girls learn skills, they learn martial arts, they've all recently just passed an international academic assessment for the year. So really, for me, despite the evil that I faced while I was there, I was so deeply moved by hope. Every single person in the IJM offices and these rescue homes, mostly Filipinos, every single one of them just overflow with hope and the love of God. And they have hope for the children and hope for justice. And so it drives what they do every day. So despite all of that, I came away really moved by what God is doing there.
Mm, yeah, and hopeful that these kids can actually have a better future.
Yes.
You mentioned your conviction that it's not just poverty, but I feel like here as parents in the West, we can be a bit complacent about some of this child protection stuff. We kind of have a false sense of security about our lives and our children, but our own kids are not really immune from predators. Did you learn anything about child protection in general that you think that we as parents could, I guess, benefit from just thinking about for a moment?
So what I loved is that children are the same everywhere. So what they're doing in Cebu are the same things that I would do here with children. So number one, the majority of abusers are known to children. So stranger danger is important, but I think as Westerners, we tend to harp on stranger danger, and we need to be talking to children about good touch and bad touch with people around them. Just like in Cebu, where the church partners and social workers are teaching children, we need to be teaching our children in our schools and our homes about body safety. What do you feel uncomfortable with? What makes you feel funny in your tummy when somebody touches you a certain way? And then teaching children to tell someone, tell a teacher, tell an adult when something makes you feel uncomfortable, say no and stop in a loud voice. We cannot be uncomfortable about telling our children and speaking about these issues because they are so important. And unless our children know that it's wrong, or they get told that that something is wrong, how would they know? So it's getting over our own fears and talking to our children about being safe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And there's a great children's book, Only For Me, which I've used with my kids as well, all about that body safety awareness, which I think, you know, everyone should read. Thank you, Colette, for filling us in, and God bless you for going over there and doing this, because it's a very brave thing to do, really, to put yourself in that situation.
Thank you for your time. I'm honoured to raise awareness for the angels overseas who are doing this work.
That's adolescent psychologist Colette Smart. We've been talking about this issue of cyber sex trafficking. Colette is an ambassador for International Justice Mission, and you can find out more about their work at ijm.org.au. That's ijm.org.au. Thanks, Colette.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.